Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are familiar and comforting words from our Lord. You know, when you hear the Son of God say the words, I am, it is time to pay close attention. When God says, I am, it is a divine self-revelation by God of his character, nature, and being. In the book of Exodus, God appointed Moses, who, not incidentally, was a shepherd tending his father-in-law's flocks in the wilderness, to be the deliverer of his people Israel. But Moses puts a question to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. In this verse, God reveals his holy name, which we pronounce as Yahweh. So Yahweh means I am, or I be, and also I will be. God is eternal and unchanging. God is totally self-sufficient and complete in himself, the maker and sustainer of all things. God is in need of nothing, but is willing to share all with those who put their hope, faith, and trust in him. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it is a name which describes the truth and holiness of his character and being. In the Old Testament, Moses was used mightily by God as his shepherd, but only Jesus is the good shepherd, because only Jesus, by his merits, can grant eternal salvation to his flock. Only Jesus can spare us from the sting of death and the wrath of judgment. Only Jesus can lead his flock to the Father, because Jesus is the way to the Father. In contrast to the good shepherd, there exist false shepherds. Ezekiel the prophet utters the word of God against the religious leaders of his day. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. My sheep were scattered. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. God sent his only Son to be the good shepherd, to search and to seek the lost sheep, to save and deliver them. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep in order to accomplish the salvation of his flock. He lays down his life to redeem his sheep from the bondage of sin and death. And it is Jesus, the Son of God, who provides the true nourishment for his flock, because the sheep feed upon the Good Shepherd himself. It is the body and blood of Jesus that is the food and drink of unending life that we share together every Sunday. And when Jesus comes again in glory, death, the final enemy, will be annihilated. Isaiah says that God will swallow up death forever. Until then, the sheep follow by faith and obedience behind the Good Shepherd, comforted by his rod and staff, as he leads us through the darkness and fearfulness of the valley of the shadow of death and into the joyful light of God's presence. Death does not consume a believer who dies, like, say, a mountain lion devours a sheep. A faithful Christian experiences only death's shadow. Can a shadow harm you? Jesus not only knows the way to the Father, Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus told Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Well, what really stood out to me as I reread this gospel passage to prepare for this message today is verse 14, which says, "I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." The Greek for the verb "know" here means to know, especially through personal experience and firsthand acquaintance. Jesus knows each and every faithful Christian as well as he knows the Father, and the Father knows him. Wow, I think that's mind-boggling. Can we say that we know God as intimately as he knows us? There is life and eternal security in listening in obedience to the voice of the Good Shepherd, trusting in God completely. And we can hear the counsel of God thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter Jesus sent to be with us, to indwell us in our hearts, and bring us ever more closer to Jesus Christ. Anna McGlynn was a Spirit-filled and obedient Christian who listened and obeyed the voice of her Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, all her life. Anna was ready to give God praise and thanks at any hour and any place. Jim Bright was visiting Anna at the Maplewood a few days before her death. She had just been raising her hands and praising God in a group hymn sing. Jim asked her how she was doing, and Anna said, "Good. It is always good to praise the Lord." Anna is well known to God and in his very presence. Perhaps many of us here, however, did not know Anna quite as well. My wife discovered a very short autobiography Anna had penned herself in 2011. Let's start with her name. Did you notice Anna's full maiden name? Anna del Carmen Mateo de Leon. What a beautiful name. From her notes, she says she was born into a Roman Catholic family in San Juan, Puerto Rico, in November 1939. She moved to New York City with her parents when she was 3 years old, and her older brother, Juan Bernardo, was 4. In New York City, another brother, Antonio Jose, and then a sister, Milagros, were born. The family moved back to Puerto Rico because her paternal grandmother had health problems. Another sibling, Jose Raul, was born in Puerto Rico then. And then Anna's family returned to New York City. They lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where her father found an Episcopal church close by. The family became very involved in that church. Anna helped with Sunday school as well as after-school programs. She was also a volunteer at St. Barnabas House, a home for young children on Bleecker Street in Lower Manhattan. In 1960, Anna met her husband-to-be, While she was living with the family of the Episcopal chaplain at the University of Chicago, John Douglas McGlynn, Anna Mateo were married in 1961 at the Church of the Intercession in New York City. Anna concludes her short personal history with this. In 1969, we became powerfully involved in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Anna became a woman listening intently for the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, Anna always came to church looking very prettily dressed, usually wearing some type of shawl and often a hat. And she would enter the nave and just sit quietly in the presence of God, just being still before the Lord. Anna carried about in her a fragrance, the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Anna was known as a mighty prayer warrior. She had a great gift of faith. Anna very much loved her husband. She often came to the door of the clergy's vesting room after service, looking for Father Doug. And finding him there, her eyes filled with love, and she'd say, "Hello, handsome." Sue Hartman shared a few things with me about her longtime friend Anna and has graciously allowed me to share this with you. Anna was a beautiful lady, inside and out. Anyone who had her for a friend was truly blessed. She was the kind of friend you could call anytime, even at midnight, and she was always ready just to talk to you about your problems, offer advice if asked to do so, or just pray with you. She was a good listener, was never judgmental. She was a woman of faith, and that faith was evident to those who knew her. She was a good wife, very supportive to Father Doug and to the church. She wanted to be a mother, and when Sean came along, she was delighted, and that delight carried over to Stephen when he arrived in her life. She was an excellent cook, worked wonders with a leg of lamb. She enjoyed singing, especially praises to the Lord. She will be greatly missed, but she is with Jesus and Father Doug, which is exactly where she would want to be. Let us pray together. Father God, we give you sincere thanks for the time we had with your servant Anna and her beloved husband. We and so very many around the country and the world were blessed to know them as devoted followers of Jesus Christ and to count them as friends or family. You have called Anna home to be with you. Anna listened and obeyed when you called her name. May we all be as filled with the love of God as Anna was, so we might hear you and obey. Amen.